outside the box of religious obligation lies a road less travelled, into the heart of the father's affection. Slinging freedom all over the place, this is the God Gene. The God Gene. The God Gene.
So you're getting ready to leave town, are you?
I am.
You're going to leave some of your treasure here with us while you're gone?
Ditching them and running.
Ditching them. So now we're talking children.
Yes.
It's Camp Grandma and Grandpa, which we usually do over the summer, but we've been moved into April.
Yes.
Because you've got to go bask in the sun.
Yes, with my husband for a week. He earned this trip from work, so we're going to go enjoy some time together and explore a new island we've never been to before. And
wow, and they're all expenses paid. And
all expenses paid,
he's one of their top salespeople from last year.
He was. So yeah. It's nice to go celebrate that. They treat us very well, so we'll be spoiled. And
I saw he was on Wall Street yesterday.
Yeah, right. Or not.
Or not. A Facebook post where I guess Tyler did a little photoshopping.
Photoshopping.
Yeah, and his company went mainstream yesterday, which I know they all celebrate that because that's good news for them. I think it's bad news for the consumer because now the only motive to do business is make money.
Yeah.
Now you have stockholders. So.
Right.
And every company that's owned, that the board now is responsible to make as much money as possible. It's not responsible to, you know, particularly a pharmaceutical company, not do what's best for the culture. It's make as much money as we can. And we know where that ends up.
Well, we'll see how it changes his job much.
We got the three monsters moving in.
You do.
Yeah, that'll be fun. We'll be worn out. We'll be glad to see you get
home. You will be. See, now at least you have school, so you get rid of them every day. But
if your kids don't enjoy you coming home, no, your parents do.
Yeah.
We got one of your kids would move in here if we'd
let
her.
Yes, she would.
I don't know what her deal is. But it'll be fun. Yeah, they will go to school during the day, so that'll help. But then there's a lot of running around for lots of things since their school's not real close.
In my defense, I did tell Mom, I don't care about any other activities, just get them to school.
But you know your mom.
So I know my mom. I tried to tell her. I'm like, really? They're going to be just as happy hanging out with Abby and Zoe.
No.
So good luck next week.
You try to be super mom, and Sarah tries to be super grandma.
Yeah.
So they're going to get to everything.
I hope not.
And I'm going to help. And then we got Andy, my son, coming in tomorrow. So
yeah.
I tried to get you and him to do a podcast. I think that'd be hilarious. You two could just talk about me all you want.
I'm not sure you'd get him on here, but
everybody who's listening would go, yeah, we want to hear the dirt on Wayne. But
that would be pretty funny.
Yeah. So that's been kind of wild. And we haven't had any feedback. We're taping this a week ahead of the podcast airing about that we did with Relaine. So we don't have a lot of feedback on that. I did hear from her. She kind of wished she had said more things about everything, which is usually common. You did an interview. But
yeah.
She said she really wanted people to come away with the hope that no matter what life can throw at you, God's bigger than that. And there's a way to find yourself inside him and negotiate life with him. And even when things that you hope for are disappointed, that God's bigger than that still. And I like hearing that. I hope people have that sense. And obviously it doesn't come from a religion called Christianity. That's got to come from a relationship with him, that you're not in this alone. He's with you as a discernible presence. And
right. And I love how honest she just was about all of it. Just her feelings of being angry at God and being frustrated with the circumstances. And I mean, she was so honest and raw, which I mean, I think we all experience those moments and they're not talked about because that's how could I ever feel that way. But I just love how raw and honest she was.
Yeah. I sent the book to my dad afterwards.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because
he's probably heard of that story.
He would know all the people involved in that story. And so I sent it to him. And he called me back after he read it. And he said, man, that was fascinating. What a read. And
it was.
Mm-hmm. He said, what a trial to go through as a family and how you negotiate your Jesus journey along with some of that stuff. So hopefully other people enjoyed it. Hopefully you have some feedback on the blog from that and see how we go. But we don't have it yet since you and I are doing this. Before that happens, because you're leaving town and we got a kid coming into town. And
I'm not usually the one leaving town. Normally you're the one leaving town.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that awesome?
It's a little weird.
Yeah, well, I will be leaving town at the end of the month. I'll be headed to Europe. I'm going to Norway, to Italy, and to Switzerland. Kind of a crazy trip. But if you're in Europe and you want to see me, it's cheaper than flying to the U.S. You can go to Norway, go to Switzerland. You can't go to Italy, unfortunately, because that's a class I'm doing for a YWAM thing. So not much to do there. But anyway, we got some email since you've been on here with me.
No goodness.
So I thought we'd check it into it a little bit. This is from Jumi. It was pure joy to listen to the parenting podcast just now. I love the candor and vulnerability that you and Julie brought to the all-important subject of agenda parenting or non-agenda parenting.
Non-agenda.
I'm a 46-year-old mom with three daughters. I have two challenging cases. One is my 22-year-old who is walking with the Lord in a richly dynamic relationship. The only snag is her extreme untidiness. Quite disturbing to watch her grow into a young woman and take little responsibility for her environment. I don't know what to do to help her. Is love helping her clean her room, hang her clothes, do her laundry, or is waiting until the rats move in? Which is it? Second concern has to do... Well, let's go before we get to the second one. You don't have a 22-year-old.
I don't.
I don't know that you'd be helpful here. My voice on 22-year-old... Now, you got them living in your house.
So yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Is the 22-year-old living at home? Because because that makes it a little trickier to kind of...
Yeah, we had this problem with you when you were like early teens.
Yeah.
Yeah, your room was getting a bit messy.
Which I don't remember this story, but you guys love to tell it.
I don't love to tell it, but I loved how it worked out because Sarah was ready to wring your neck. And like we were talking about really clamping down and making the rules and you're 14. But we'd also been on this track of letting our kids decide more stuff and not trying to intervene in their lives all the time. And Sarah and I were at an impasse, quite honestly. We couldn't figure out where to go with it because we had two separate conclusions about it. But fortunately, we had some good friends we'd go over and talk to, had older kids than ours. And the guy who helped me write So You Want Church Anymore, Dave Coleman, his wife,
Donna.
Dave and Donna. There it is. Getting old, man.
You're welcome.
I just had my 66-year-old physical checkup. And
it's showing.
I passed, but they didn't do any brain testing. So yeah, anyway, Dave and Donna, and we shared it with them. And they kind of carved the space out of saying, you know what? We'd give her room. And like, what? And I was like, yeah, I'm for this. And I just have two rules. If it's messy, keep the door shut. And if cockroaches start crawling out, then something else has to be done. Yeah. And so we did. And we gave you your room. And I just remember that over the next couple of weeks, I know about it. I didn't look in your room. I don't care that much. But Sarah was seeing that it was getting worse and worse and worse. And she was freaking out. And then a couple weeks into it, you just said, you know what? I got to clean this room up. And now you're a bit of an eat freak.
I'm kind of an eat freak. Yeah.
Man, I've never seen anybody. You clean out your house all the time and things that don't.
I cannot have clutter. It bothers me. I cannot every day clear the clutter. That's all it is. I just cannot. Yeah.
You know, I did this last weekend. I've been threatening to do this forever. I've got to go through my closet and that's too much stuff in there I never wear. And I actually did it. I'm going, oh my gosh, I've been threatening for 3 years. Because stuff
See,
I
it
never
feels good.
Wear.
Get rid of the junk.
They didn't feel good.
Oh.
But I'm glad it's done. But anyway, and I remember another gal I talked to back, had a 21-year-old daughter that she had 11 p.m. curfew on.
Oh.
Yeah, and there was some real hostility going. They invited me to get into that with them because I was still pastoring at the time. And so when I got into it with them, and what it came down to was the mom couldn't go to sleep until the daughter was in the house because she worried too
much. I have friends like that.
Yeah, and I just said, then you need to move out. You know, the daughter needs to move out because for you to ask your daughter to do something because of your problem is not a helpful situation. It's going to just build resentment. So I just encourage the daughter. It's a very good time for you guys to move out. You'll be better friends if you do. And if you're 22-year-old and pretty messy, I think you need to live in that environment and suffer the consequences. And if the mom can close the door and navigate that, great. And if she can't, then find some roommates, rent a bedroom somewhere, and deal with life
figure
on your own.
Something out. Yeah.
But I love what changing, because you came down that one morning and were just like, you were up on a Saturday morning before eight. So that was kind of like stop. And then we're like looking at each other and looking at you and what is that about? And then you said, I got to clean that room, man. I can't live in there anymore. And so we actually went up and helped you. You don't remember any of that?
I don't have a memory of this.
This is proof.
Are you sure it's me and not Andrew? This sounds like Andrew.
This is proof that teenagers do not have brains. This is part of it. And we let you have at it for an hour or so by yourself, and you were pretty worn out. So Sarah and I said, let's go up and help her. And after that, man, it was neat freak city in there.
See, you're lucky you had a daughter. I was pretty good to you guys.
You
only
were
2 weeks
you
of a dirty room. That's
well,
not
there
too
was
bad.
The 3 months leading up to it.
Yeah, well,
was like, yeah, you go to school without making your bed, which was like, what? That doesn't happen here, or so we thought, but it did.
Yeah.
She said, my second concern is due to my energetic 10-year-old with an amazing personality. She's very helpful in school and Sunday school, where she loves to stay two services to look after the babies. She is, however, extremely chatty, disruptive in school and frequently gets in trouble for distracting her classmates, et cetera, et cetera. Other than praying for her, what does Grace look like in this scenario? You don't have any touch with this, do you?
Nothing at all. Totally foreign. Oh. I don't even know where to start. No.
Oh, my gosh. I saw a post, a comment, your son's first grade teacher.
Yeah.
And kindergarten teacher. He had the same teacher twice.
Yep, yep.
And your husband posted a thing about being with the kids and whatever.
Yes.
And this former teacher had put on your husband's Facebook page, yeah, if you need any news to circulate around the school, just tell Lindsay. I just go, boy, that is true. Girl can't keep a secret, save her life.
She can't. She tries so hard.
She just loves to be miscommunicado. You wouldn't need a newspaper if you had Lindsay in
No.
there. Yeah. She's just hang out with Lindsay. You find out everything.
That girl, tell you everything she can think of.
That's what I'm looking forward to her coming this week.
Yeah, you're going to find all kinds of great
all
stuff.
Down on you and Tyler. So we should have done this podcast when you get back from the Caribbean.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, got any advice? Any thoughts? What to do?
Yeah, that's a hard one. We talk a lot about respect in our house and what that means for, you know, respecting each other in our home, but also it extends to teachers at school and, you know, that you have a job and that's, you know, being a good student. And it's, you know, I mean, outside of continually talking about it because it's an ongoing discussion with every teacher she's had, it's always the Lindsay comes out, give her a couple months and she warms up and then she's, you know, but I mean, she's a good kid and everybody loves her. So I think she gets away with more than she should, but I think it's a constant discussion about how to control themselves. And, you know, you can't blame your actions on anybody else. You're the one that is in control of your body and your mouth, and you need to, there's time and place and figure it out.
But I'm not hearing you say win this with discipline. Like, you know, every day she comes back with said something in school, you up some kind of takeaway at home, grounding, whatever. I don't know if this works as a great, you know, I'm going to fight it out with takeaways. Do you? Have you done that
with Lindsay? We have had to do that a little bit, not even with Lindsay, but we've had to kind of get a tough because we had one that was being a little boisterous and the teacher was asking us for help. At least Lindsay was good enough to know, okay, mom and dad are involved.
Mom and dad are
Whoa.
On this. Yeah.
yeah. But we
so
definitely.
The other, another child
another
to be a
child.
Name.
Yeah. My poor kids. Oh, man.
Now they'll know what you grew up with.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Get on a podcast waiting.
Yeah.
Stuff can happen.
And, it, you know, it did work, but we did have to kind of be in communication with the teacher, and there were some privileges that were taken away at home to kind of get said child on the right track. But, I mean, it worked. And a lot of – I mean, I'm big on talking to them about the reasons behind it. Like, I know mom had a sweatshirt growing up, said, I'm the mom, that's why. And
yeah. Oh, my gosh. We hate that sweatshirt.
Yeah. And oh, I really don't do that with my kids. I try to really explain and have discussions and let's talk about this. Like, what is happening? And why are you doing this? And why should we not do this? And I find that's more effective than even taking things away.
If you do take something away, do you give them a voice in it? Do you ask, what do you think would be fair to give up to help remember this? Or do you just...
I have.
Yeah, cool.
I have.
I like that.
And it's funny because when I have asked them for their opinion, they're often harsher than I would be when I've sat down and said, okay, so this is what's happened, that we need a consequence, something for this. And it's interesting what your kids will say when you ask them. And if you know, do you think that that's fair? And do you think that's a good consequence for X, Y, Z? And they're oftentimes harder on themselves than I would be. So you'd be surprised if you ask your kid that question, what they might say.
And what does that come from, do you think? Is it just they feel like ashamed, so they're really trying to choose a big, big punishment? Or is it what would go to... I think our first thought is kids would say, oh, I'll give up bananas for a day or two.
Yeah, right.
Know, something like that. They don't.
They know that's not
going
to fly.
Right. Yeah. So it's probably that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got to think of something. So at least maybe mom
will go along with that. And
do you ever peel it back? If they choose too much, you say, you know what? That's a good idea, but let's do it this way. And
yes, change it. I will.
Because that's a good grace thing, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, mom and dad aren't totally morons.
Yeah. Or, you know, that's a good idea. How about we do this for a day? And then we'll see how things go or something like that. Something, yeah. You know, so if they have a good attitude about it, if we see improvements just around the house, whatever the six different scenarios are. But yeah, I find that that's does allow that grace to kind of come into play, and they're able to learn something in the process too. I think it's different when they're a part of, it's not mom yelling, here's your discipline, go to your room, as opposed to us having a discussion about it. And then, you know, them helping figure out what's a good punishment. And we don't always ask. Especially when they're younger, I think that's a little more difficult for them to kind of figure out. But in some circumstances we have, but it definitely when they're older, it's a good discussion to start.
And I love the respect that you show your kids, because I think if you want your kid, if you make it about respect and not about rules and discipline, then you've got a place to kind of invite them into. And if you can't show them respect, I know parents who just get exhausted and they get frustrated. And so they're immediately in their face screaming at their kid, why can't you be a good kid? And that just increases the very problem. If lack of respect is the problem at school, then lack of respect is, you know, they're getting it from somewhere. So adding more respect at home, I think, is going to be helpful to get them to figure all that out.
Yeah.
You know, how do you, I remember the one time you bent down with Amy and just said, you know, I'm not talking to you that way. I'm going to ask you not to talk to me that way.
Yeah.
And you kept it calm. And because you kept it calm, she
calms down,
cycled down.
Yeah. And as soon as I yell, let's be honest, I'm a mom and I have three children. I yell.
Oh my gosh. But I want to hear some of that.
When I do, I'm very quick. Yeah. Put it on the list. Oh dear. I'm going to have a bargain with that child before I leave town.
She can't keep a secret.
I'm in trouble.
Don't even try.
I do try to, you know, if I'm very frustrated and I see myself going that direction, I do really my best to just stop myself or try to and take a minute and calm down. And because I know as soon as I start yelling, their defenses go up. It doesn't help anything. It makes the whole situation so much worse.
It does.
It's like if you just – I remember somebody reading a book or something. I don't remember where I got it from. But if you're calm – just watch what happens. And I kind of remember thinking, yeah, right, that's not going to do any good. They only listen when I yell. But I did try it, and I couldn't believe the change that it made with the kids. And now I know that when I get to the point that I'm yelling, I recognize it super quick and be like, wait, this is going to make everything worse.
That's good.
I need to stop, because now this is my problem.
Right.
And I need to think about what I'm doing. So
I go cool off and then come back to it and maybe find a way to do it. And that's a good point, too. I don't think every discipline problem, kid comes home with a note from school, I've got to fix it right here, right now. Instead of saying, particularly if you get really, really hot under the collar, you say, you know, we're going to talk about this in a little. They're not going back to school till the next day anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So you've got time to take a deep breath, to cool off. She did say at the end of her note, this is from Jumi again, I battle deep feelings of personal failure. I wasn't a very difficult marriage, and I sometimes feel that some of the fruit I see are from my attempts to compensate for their father's years of emotional absenteeism. So she's a single mom, and I think that adds a whole lot to the burden.
For sure.
Yeah. So our compassion goes out to you, and we certainly understand. I just think you'll find it better to find ways of respect to help with your kids and work them through.
And there's grace in there for her too. I mean, parenting is hard, and we're not going to get it right all the time. And I'm the first to admit that I don't get it right all the time.
Yeah. And said she's a very helpful kid in Sunday school and whatever. So she's a great kid.
Yeah.
She's just chatty at the wrong times, and helping her dial that back may be helpful. This from Victoria. She wanted to, I think some people misunderstood, because we were using this little book that we were going to talk through, whether we get to it or not today isn't the story. But and people think we're recommending that book. People are reading it and they're writing me saying, you know what's in this book? I say, yeah, there's a lot of problems in the book. I wasn't recommending it. I just thought to get my daughter on this podcast, if we thought we had something to talk about. Brad and I have never done that. Brad and I show up, turn on mics, and no telling where we'll end up. And so I thought it would just be kind of a cushion to say, you know, these are the great subjects to talk about.
For sure.
Even if the way he talks about it, and there's good stuff in there. It's kind of like eating chicken, tossing bones.
Yes.
Like everything is.
Pick out the good stuff that speaks to you and leave the rest there.
Yeah. So Victoria wrote and said, loving your kid. My two favorite parenting books are Loving Your Kids on Purpose by Danny Silk, which is my favorite.
Yep, mine too.
And so if you're going to go buy a book, go buy that one. They say, why are you guys talking about that one? You really don't need to, because it's hilarious and fun, and you'll learn a lot. And we probably don't need to talk about it. We have before on the podcast.
Yep.
And the other one's Connected Families by Jim and Lynn Jackson.
Oh, I don't know
Never
that one.
Heard of that. Based out of Minnesota. Also, what has helped me with parenting hugely is Jesus' honor of children. If I start with the view that children are sinners worse than adults, or if I start with another view that children are his creation and honored by Jesus, I choose the latter. To look up to him, to learn from them, to not quench them with my own worst sin, I think. That, along with the Connected Families book, talked about how gifts gone awry. I like how Julie and the book mentioned taking a step back. Connected Families also says this, step away to talk to God, which we just talked about, interestingly enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. This brings back something I'd really want to talk about more with you or Brad or somebody on this podcast. But we grew up with that whole theology or doctrine, doctrine more accurately, of original sin. We're all fallen, we're all broken, we're all fell in Adam. And it starts a conversation with ugly stuff, right?
Right.
There's some stuff being written now that I've just skimmed the surface on, and I would love to talk about original blessing, that we were created in God's image, we were made in his likeness, that we were, even looking at our kids, and she's kind of talking about making that switch from all these creepy little disciplined, fleshy, dominated monkeys to, wow, these are kids that God loves. They're created in his image. He's loving. And yes, sin's trying to twist them. And yes, all that other stuff is going on. But who they are in their heart of hearts are beloved children of a gracious father. Yeah. And every wedding I've done, I've ended up telling the couple getting married, before this person's ever your husband, they're a son of God. And don't forget that, because somehow in marriage, sometimes we start treating the other one like our possession.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love that kind of, you know what, there's a blessing there, and let's love up on that.
And when I pray every morning for my kids, just in my own kind of quiet time, I always say, God, these kids are your kids. And so teach me to guide them love them, because they're yours. And I feel like that's a way for me every day to remind myself that they are a gift, but they're his.
Yeah.
So
help me treat them the way you want them treated. Yeah. You know, that's when Sarah went through what she went through a few years back, this real transition time in her life again. My prayer became every morning the same thing. God, help me love Sarah the way you want Sarah loved today.
Yeah.
Not just I want to love her. I want to love her the way you want her loved. What is that? What can I? And I don't get an answer every day. I don't get an answer most days. But I'm learning to love her differently over time. And I think that prayer and that focus on it's incredibly helpful. Said I take a different view of ownership. I don't think ownership is what I want for or from my child. Ownership is protecting a priceless treasure. I take ownership of my children in the sense of protection spiritually, in authority of Christ, and physically here on earth. We protect our sheep from the wolves, and of course, he does that, but this is our job as parents too, and his spirit leads us in that. God modeled this for us. He calls us mine, and yes, this means that we are his, but I currently believe that he is designed for families to be possessive, to call them our own and his. I kind of like the way she uses that.
Yeah, I do too.
But there's a scary side to that too.
Yeah, well, especially when your kids become like your, you know, your pride and joy is in like this, the way that you talk about them and you have these expectations of them because they're yours and that's what you want for them. And I don't think that's what she's saying, but I part of that, the book that he was saying was that you don't want to go that route, that they are God's and we're here to not control them and own them. But
yeah, I like how she applies it.
I do.
The other side, as kids get older, if you're still protecting them from things they need to experience, they're going to end up resenting you. So, I mean, this is, I don't know how older kids are. If you're talking about kids up till 12, 13, I think a lot of protection from what the world wants to do. That's just good parenting.
Yep.
On the other side of that trying to possess them when they're not, because now Sarah and I, we've crossed that step where we have been empty nested longer than we had children. And we're going, oh my gosh, that was, it seemed like an eternity raising children.
Yeah.
And now you look back and go, it was 20 years, 18 for you, and then two more, we picked up Andy. And that was it. And then, man, we've had a lot more time to enjoy you guys as adults, which truly, Sarah and I have said this all the time, it's truly one of the greatest joys of our life is having adult kids that we consider friends as well as children, that we love you guys. We love talking about stuff we talk about. We disagree. No one gets angry and upset.
Right.
And there's not a lot of drama in this family, which I love. Mm-hmm. We can vacation together. No one gets hurt. No one's off on the side offended.
Yep.
I love that we just somehow became friends and all that. And
yeah,
that doesn't mean you guys are perfect and your parents certainly aren't. Yeah. So we've all got stuff to love each other through.
Yeah.
And then this, which I thought was interesting. This comes from somebody else. Let's leave them since I can't find it on here. She said,
it's that old age thing.
And pray of you often. I feel like we get to visit with you every week. We listen to the podcast. We've enjoyed your conversation with Julie. Sent the last one to our friend Jennifer, who's a single parent, and it was very timely. Here's what she wrote us back. And they sent this to us, which is just very gracious. So this podcast is exactly what I needed to hear. I have been struggling with my daughter for a few weeks now, particularly over morning routine. I have been so frustrated and I've been really angry at times. This morning was one of those moments. Thankfully, I walked away and talked to God about it. He told me exactly what this podcast said. I cannot change my daughter. I've tried lots of ways to force her to change. And he finally broke me this morning, which I don't ever like God breaking people. I just think we finally break.
Right.
The reality of trying to do something in opposition to what God's doing will break us. But I don't necessarily put God there as the one doing it.
Yeah.
I was able to go back to her and pray over her. Hearing this podcast was exactly what I needed to confirm what he said to me this morning. Mm. Now I confess I do not know how to act as an ambassador, but I know I do not want to act like an owner. I may need to get this book to get some practical tips. In the meantime, I'm still working on communication with her. Please pray. I would have wisdom in raising her. I want her to have a relationship with him that is not bound by rules. I want freedom, and I want her to have the same freedom. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good timing.
So good.
Yeah, this is also how I lure you into more podcasts. When you get stuff like that, you go, oh, yeah, maybe this is worth it. Something. Okay. I'm really not trying to be that manipulative.
Yeah, right.
That's why I talk about it. So I can hide it in plain sight.
Hide it in plain sight.
Then I thought I'd read you this, and I realize this will probably never let us get to the chapter we were going to get to this morning. But a couple that Sarah and I have just been walking with through some changes in their life coming out of some really stringent, I'll just say it, Calvinistic background, which, you know, and I mean ultra Calvinism, just barely to the right of Amish maybe.
Oh, wow.
But not much. Or maybe, I guess I want to say to the left of Amish. Yeah, but maybe it is to the right, actually. After you read this, she's in a discussion group, and they were talking about women. We're talking about, you know, women in the home and all that kind of stuff. And then this pastor guy drops in on their dialogue, and this is what he writes. I want to see how you respond to this.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he said, there's your sin right there. Why would you ask advice from your wife on this matter? You are the head over her, not the other way around. Since women are prone to deception, it is foolish to heed the words of your wife as she operates by feelings and not by facts and the authoritative word of God. The truth of the matter is, if you are married to your wife, she belongs to you as your property. Whether you see that or not is irrelevant. Property rights are enforced right throughout the entire Bible. This is why adultery is so evil. It's because you are stealing another man's property. Don't like this misogynistic view? Then take it up with God, your argument with him, not with me. Women feel more secure knowing they belong to a superior authority. And I can see you just really relaxing into the peace of God here. I cannot see your wife being made to feel secure. If you have to ask her what her opinion is on this matter, you're the man, you decide. What is what in your home? And she is supposed to be obedient and respectful to you, capitalized. Far, far too long now, men have abrogated their leadership roles as head over the woman and attempted to be equal with them, which has led to nothing but disaster, broken homes, out of control, rebellious women following the wicked spirit of Jezebel, the destruction of society, and unjust laws that strip away a man's right and power in the home. Is that the most evil thing you have heard in the last decade of my life?
Oh my gosh.
And this lady who sent this to me said, because obviously some man was asking his wife for her advice, and that just sent this guy off into, oh my gosh, this is as evil a view of man-woman relationship as I've ever read.
Yeah. I mean, there's no relationship. That's just a man owning and controlling a woman. Like, there's no relationship in that. I mean.
Yeah.
Oh.
And the whole idea, women are prone to deception. So don't ask him anything. There's, like, a man has never been deceived.
Yeah.
Like, in the course of my 66 years of life, I will tell you, I see as many men as women deceived about all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And I know that, you know, there's some of this stuff goes back to some, you can hear the Bible scriptures. There are a few of them underlying this thing where people go, yeah, because Paul said, you know, that women ate first and the woman was deceived. So don't let these two women teach in Ephesus. And it's this thing we do with the Bible with every comment is a proof text for a principle that's universal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, no, there are two women being authoritative in Ephesus. Tell them to back down because they're deceived. And yeah, he uses Eve for that. Not to be... Now, applied to all women as more deceived than the men in their life.
Right.
Yeah. And then this whole property rights thing. And the most stable she's going to be is when she's just told what to do because she's too stupid to know. This is as evil.
Abusive. And yeah, that is.
I know for some of you listening to this, I read probably too much of it without stopping and bashing it. Because if you felt like I...
you were
that
agreeing.
There was any way, yeah, that I would read this to bless you today. Man, only if you know how evil this is. And I guess that's why I want to talk about, because my home hasn't been like this.
Yeah.
Your home is not like this.
No.
And yet people feel like this guy's whole point, and he admits it's a misogynistic view. Women are less than men. And so he admits that, but it's God's fault, not mine.
Yeah. It's hard to believe that that is somebody's home just in the world we live in now. I mean, I'm sure it is, but I'm just like kind of blown away by the language and how strong and.
Yeah. I'm surprised the women in this I wouldn't walk away.
Yeah.
Wouldn't say, no, I'm not living this way. Let's get some help. Counseling. You're going to change or I'm leaving.
Cause
this is the total denial of the personhood of a woman, the value of a woman, what God's invested in a woman, that male and female both reflect characteristics about God that the other one can't. And it's a more complete view to have both, not just right one. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But this, like I said, this is what I grew up in. This is what we were told to do. And I'll be honest, the first church I was at would never have said it like this. This is over the top in the way it's said. But the idea that men were, you know, needed to be in the head of their home and the woman needed to be submissive and follow quietly, that was definitely taught to me. And I told Sarah we were going through it. I'm going, I don't even like this stuff. I don't. I think the two were to become one, we're to share. Now I've got my insight. And I've got your insight. Right. And when it's different, we have room to grow. Not place to fight. That's how most couples start out, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted my way when I got married because this is going to be a long time with her. I don't want to have to do things her way. That's how it starts out. But you'd never say it this way. You'd be more subtle about manipulating.
Yeah, that's not very subtle.
The conversations to get where I think they need to be. But I think it also points to, and I think this is true of almost all the relationships that we have, marriage relationship especially, you never want someone else to be a victim of your choices.
Right?
Like Sarah, do I want to do everything Sarah's way? My gosh, I'd be gardening every day. It'd be crazy. No, I don't. Is there room for Sarah to be Sarah and Wayne to be Wayne in a marriage and for us to love each other and for us to then take circumstances? We were talking about something yesterday. Our whole walk. Sometimes we can do a 2-mile walk and hardly say a word to each other. Yesterday was a discussion about something pretty critical that's not about us. It's not between us. It's not involved with us at all. But it's something we do for other people. And we don't see it the same way. And in fact, we mostly see it. I would say we'll see it the same way. We do see it the same way. But the way we're seeing it is probably not the godly way to see it. Mm-hmm. So we're always saying, okay, we agree here.
Yeah.
Is this godly? Is this the way God's inviting us to respond? And man, it took the whole 2-mile walk and we still didn't figure it out. Yeah. So I guess we're doing another one today.
Yeah.
I mean, still just trying to get God. Well, actually made a decision and we made the decision we didn't want to make because we felt like as convinced as we were of our own frustration or whatever, it wasn't the way God was leading us. So we did one of those things we do so often is make a decision that is not in our self-interest for the benefit of someone else.
Right.
And hopefully it's God in that, and that's not just being used, but I like the fact that I get that. I like that I get Sarah's input on everything, and sometimes, a lot of times, she's actually got the better insight on stuff. You know, it's not that, I let her speak because, you know, I want to show her she's important, but eventually I'll get her around to, I probably did that more when we were younger. I'm less inclined to that now. I really want Sarah to be Sarah and have all the wisdom God's given her and add that to the two of us. And, you know, I just wrote a blog recently about Sarah because everything we do has been, Sarah's behind it all.
Mm-hmm.
And when I travel, Sarah perhaps pays the biggest price for me being on the road than anyone else pays. And it's not, she's not blessed when I'm gone. sometimes she has been, I'm sure. she's looking at these things. It's time for you to go somewhere. Yeah. But for the most part.
Next trip coming.
And I love it when people mention that. Like last trip I was on in Pittsburgh and West Virginia, I had about 5-6 people mention, please tell Sarah how much we appreciate what she gives up in this. And Sarah appreciates hearing that as well.
Well, and that's what a relationship is. It's taking two different perspectives and kind of, I think it's so much more valuable to try to make decisions and you have somebody else's point of view and let's figure this out together. And even including for us, like our kids, like they have their point of view and they have their needs and wants and desires. And when you kind of bring all those things together and take in everybody's perspective on something, I think it's so much more valuable than one person dictating.
Yeah, let me see if you remember this story. You had promised.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'd been traveling, came home. You had a lot of nights out. You're a high school junior or senior. You had a lot of stuff out.
Yeah.
And we had agreed to have a family night together, which we finally gave up on. But we were having a family. Just go ahead and see you. Could we all be together? And you promised me you would. And then you came home and somebody was having a big thing that night. Your group was getting together and you really wanted to go. Remember that?
No. Well, I'm not sure yet.
Are you my child? Who's taking over your body? No, you wanted to really go to, and you were upset at me. You were like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to. I said, yeah. Whoa.
I could see that. Okay.
Yeah. I said, and you were kind of not showing me the respect because I hadn't shown you a lot of respect growing up. I'll admit, we did the power parenting for most of your young years. I'm the mom, that's right, or I'm the dad, and we're going to do it. And that's how we were taught to do it. But I remember at that moment, you said, whoa, stop a minute. Because I really, I knew how badly you wanted to go to this thing. And you had promised you would be available on this night. And we had planned our week around because my stupid nights out were ridiculous myself. I was part of that problem of not connecting with you as often as I wanted to. And so I remember you were just kind of upset about it. I said, whoa. I'm happy to talk about this with you. I know you promised. Maybe this isn't the best night. Maybe we can move it to another night. But we finally worked that through. I remember you being really, really frustrated. So I just said, why don't you go to your room? And when you can come back and calm down. You remember any of this now?
Well, I can imagine it.
You have a different side of it, I'm sure. I was completely kind. You were the frustrated one. I sent you to your room. That's probably how you remember.
Yes.
But I remember you just came back and we finally just said, look, okay, if you want to go to this thing, great. What other night can you give me? Can you give me another night? And you did. And it was then all smoothed out. And
well, how valuable would that night have been had, you know, I would have been mad. And yes, it's his family time, but the person's not going to be happy to be there. So
yes, but I won.
Yes.
I'm the dad and I'm supposed to win every battle.
Yeah.
That's how we were taught.
Yeah.
And it, like you said, it doesn't lead to great relationship life, which doesn't mean the kids run the household.
Oh,
that's
right.
The opposite of that. I think we tend to put these arguments in. It's either all power control or the kids just run. No, there's a whole series of
making things work together,
nuanced realities. Yeah. And respecting my kids and inviting their respect and finding a solution that is good for the whole family, not just letting the kid have their way because they're going to act like a brat if they have to go to family night when they don't want to rather be at a party. It's not so clear cut as here's the best decision to make.
Mm-hmm.
It's a constant, what's going to get us where we want to get to, which is, and I actually think, this is why I think we have, you're going to love this because you don't care probably, but in the whole fight over church and the New Testament and reading these things and doing the same thing, taking a for instance and making it a principle that everybody lives around, I think what we lose sight of in the New Testament is that Paul seemed, as he's writing these churches, to have something in mind, way people are loving and following Jesus together. That was what he saw for the church and hoped for.
Yeah.
And then in different situations, he was applying different fixes. He was applying, why don't you guys try this or try that? It was because at one point, appoint elders. And then another point saying, well, John writes to Ephesus saying the elders are the problem. They're controlling everything. They're doing, so don't have anything to do with them. And so it wasn't that Paul had this, here's the process that guarantees the result. I think parents do the same thing. Maybe this parenting book will give me the processes. No, it's not. Get a goal in your heart that we want to be kids.
Yeah.
Want to have kids that are getting connected to Jesus.
Yeah.
And we want to have kids that are respectful of other people. And we want to have kids who are learning to embrace life and all its wildness. And they're going to make some bad decisions because I'm 66 and I still make a few. You're 40, you still make any?
Of course.
Oh, yes. Okay. So if we get a different sense of what we're wanting is not perfect children and a process that produces them, well, we're in this wild adventure of, man, here are these, in your case, three other lives in our home. And how do we keep adjusting to what God wants to do in them? And instead of, I've got a set of rules and man, I'm just going to put these on my kids because that always fails.
Always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back for our days, it wasn't this guy, Tripp or whatever his name is, but it was James Dobson back in the day and Dare to Discipline. And that book's, there's some good stuff in it, particularly when you're in that under 7-8 range. You're still doing some of that stuff when they're above 8-9, then you're just breeding the very rebellion you'll come to abhor when they're teenagers.
Yeah. You really got to find a way to connect with their hearts and just really have that, you know, mutual respect for each other. And that's where it all comes from. Since we've just kind of gone on this journey with our kids, it's really just been in the past year, I think. The changes that I've seen in home life and the relationships with our kids is significant. And I think they see it too. And so they, you know, had something, we had a similar situation almost to this, you know, thing interrupting other plans that we had. And it could have gone very differently had we not just sat down with one of our children and said, okay, how can we make this work so that you can still do this X, Y, Z, but we can still have some time together because that's equally important. Yeah. And it worked out. And we found a way to do that without, this is what we're doing. You're doing this with us. Too bad. You know?
Yeah. And that's the old way of parenting, isn't it? Yeah. The principle is the parent, you're in charge. And if you just let your kids get away with stuff, they'll just take advantage of it. Treat them like people.
Yeah.
Who, yeah, have let's a voice find, and, yeah. let's negotiate something here. Yeah. Well, we can both be fully invested as much in marriage as raising kids. And yeah, you're the parent. You have the greater wisdom.
Yes.
But that, I think giving you the greater wisdom and even the authority gives you the better opportunity to be humble.
Yeah.
And walk them with you into those realities instead of pushing them into it.
Yeah.
I think that'll help.
And how grateful I see my kids even responding to that. I mean, the situation we had, my daughter like wrote me this note of just, she stuck it in my Kindle, so right by my bed at night. But it was just that you're the best. I love you so much. And thank you so much for how you love us. And it was like the sweetest thing because I wasn't asked for it. It just came out of her heart and feeling grateful that we just adjusted and because that's what we do. And I just love that. And I love what it shows her.
I do too. I think that's awesome. Well, we didn't get to the book.
We didn't.
But we are out of time. So thanks for coming by again, Jay.
Of course.
Always good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
You make my heart happy.
Aw.
Thank you for traveling with us today on The God Journey. You can join this conversation by visiting thegodjourney.com.